Please stand for our gospel.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
The Gospel according to John, the second chapter. Three days later, there was a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples were guests also. When they started running low on wine at the wedding banquet, Jesus' mother told him, they're just about out of wine. Jesus said, "Is that any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me." She went ahead anyway, telling the servants, "Whatever he tells you, do it." 6 stoneware water pots were there, used by the Jews for ritual washings. Each held 20 to 30 gallons of water. Jesus ordered the servants, "Fill the pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. "Now fill your pitchers and take them to the host," Jesus said, and they did. When the host tasted the water that had become wine, and he didn't know what had just happened, but the servants, of course, knew. He called out to the bridegroom, "Everybody I know begins with their finest wines, and after the guests have had their fill, brings in the cheap stuff. But you've saved the best till now." This act in Cana of Galilee was the first sign Jesus gave, the first glimpse of his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, who comes into our lives as God our Creator, Jesus Christ our Redeemer, and Holy Spirit our Helper and Sustainer. Amen. It's party time in Cana. Jesus is about to begin his public ministry. He has gathered his disciples. Jesus, along with his mother and his disciples, are at a wedding in Cana, and they're enjoying the wedding banquet. Then unexpectedly, there's almost no more wine. And the wedding guests have consumed most of the wine. The wedding was now becoming a wedding planner's nightmare. John's gospel doesn't tell us the reaction of the bride and the groom, nor does John's gospel tell us the reaction of the wedding guests, if that news had gotten out to them. However, John's gospel focuses on the reaction of Jesus' mother. Mom tells son, "There is almost no more wine," and by implication, mom wants her son to do something about this. Ready or not, Jesus does what any good son would do what mom asks. And I can imagine the look Jesus gave his mom at this point. "Oh, mom." At this point, we know that there are, 6 20 to 30 gallon water jars that are filled now with water by the servants. And the water became, just like that, fine wine. And this wine was as good as or even better than the best Sonoma County wine. And we know how good Sonoma County, or really any of the wine, great growing regions in California, produces wonderful wine. And so Jesus changes water to wine. Now the story of the wedding at Cana is one of the traditional Epiphany stories that reveal to us that Jesus is indeed, and it's really the Messiah, the anointed one, the one chosen to be the savior of all creation, and he is truly the Son of God. When I recall this story of the wedding at Cana, several thoughts constantly flood my mind. First thought that comes to mind is while I was serving as an assistant to the bishop, there were times when people thought that well, gosh, you're an assistant to the bishop, so you must be some really wonderful, fantastic, special kind of pastor. And my response would often be that, yeah, I'm an assistant to the bishop because I failed the test of turning water to wine. And therefore, I can no longer serve in a congregation. So the bishop is stuck with me. You're stuck with me too, I suppose. So anyway, that was one that we've had, and even better. So think of the best banquet. In my case, being raised in a Chinese family, wedding banquets, New Year's banquets. Those are the wonderful times. And so I think about this wedding banquet in Cana. I can't help but take it a step further and think of banquet time at God's table. And of course, we often compare it also to Holy Communion. You know, this is a foretaste of the feast. Get that, the feast to come. The wedding banquet story at Cana also reminds us that God's abundant, extravagant grace is available for everyone. Think about that. Think about that. When the wine ran out, what did Jesus do? He turned water into the finest wine. And it wasn't a small quantity of wine. I mean, it wasn't just a bottle of Cabernet or a case of Merlot. Instead, 120 to 180 gallons of wine. Think about that. Six big jars of water were filled, and it's that much wine. And one commentator said that's enough to fill approximately, what, 1,000 bottles? 1,000 bottles. Imagine you bought 1,000 bottles of wine from the finest winery here in California and says, we're having a wedding banquet. We're going to have a party. Boy, that is going to be quite a party, right? But 1,000 bottles of wine, or 120 to 180 gallons of wine. You know, think about consuming that much at any banquet. And remember, this story of turning so much water into a great deal of fine wine is at the beginning, at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry in John's gospel. And if this is the first thing that Jesus does in public ministry, John's gospel is focusing on setting a tone, as all the gospels set a tone with the first stories of Jesus' public ministry. But here, at the start of his ministry, we have a story of abundant grace that sets the tone that God is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. I mean, that's how John's gospel begins in terms of Jesus. So much wine, so much grace simultaneously. So Jesus incarnates God's abundant grace. God's grace is reconciliation, love, mercy, and forgiveness all rolled up in Jesus. We can't do anything to earn grace. We can't do anything to lose grace. Think about that. And God's grace is a free gift to us. Or to put another way, God's grace is the only free lunch in town. I can't think of anybody else that offers a free lunch like that. God's grace is available all the time, and there's plenty of grace to go around for everyone. There's no shortage. Never has been. It's available for everyone. When I visited the Union Gospel Mission in Los Angeles, I noticed a sign. And the sign simply said, There but by the grace of God go I. We live by God's grace. God's grace makes life possible, and we depend on that grace. We're called to trust in God's grace and to be abundant, available, and to get us through the ups and downs of life, even when we run out of wine, right? Peace Lutheran Church is in the midst of a transition between settled pastors. And at this point, we really don't know what's ahead of us, and we really don't know who will be that next settled pastor. So you're stuck with me. And during this transition time, when I speak with congregations, I often remind them that, guess what? There's no such thing as the perfect pastor. So don't think in those terms. Simultaneously, I remind pastors or colleagues that there's no such thing as a perfect what? Congregation. Yet, I have any number of call process stories where God provided. I remember presenting a slate of pastoral candidates, and personally, I wasn't exactly thrilled with that slate. I said, gosh, you know, I'm sticking these folks with candidates I don't have a lot of confidence in. But these are the best that I have at the time, so I presented the slate of candidates to this particular congregation, and lo and behold, guess what? The right candidate was actually in that slate, and the pastor is still serving that congregation. Who would have thought? I didn't think much, but That's what happened. Or I remember when I presented only one pastoral candidate to a call committee, and they decided to recommend this particular candidate to be their next pastor. And I remember being present at the congregational meeting, because that was my responsibility as the assistant to the bishop at the time. And a member of the call committee came up to me and said, "I need to talk to you privately." So we went into the pastor's office. And he said to me, "You know, I've been opposed to the having women pastors." And I said, "Oh my God." Because the pastor that who's being recommended is a female. And then he said to me, "But she's the one for us. She's the right one for us." And I said, "Thank you." You know, that's grace, isn't it? That's God's grace in action. God provides in the midst of these things. And this was not an easy congregation to find candidates with, much less one. And God provided. We are called upon to trust in a God who is gracious and will provide, even during a congregational transition. The wedding at Cana's story also reminds us that when things go wrong, God is still there for us. God was there for the wedding party and provided wine in this case. Or during this time, you know, of a federal government, partial federal government shutdown, when federal employees aren't being paid, we're beginning to hear stories about people trying to offer help for federal employees. There are food banks that are providing food. As a matter of fact, this morning I was listening to one particular story where the local Catholic Charities was providing food for federal government employees. Or banks are beginning to offer interest-free loans at this point. There are restaurants that are offering meals, and there are even state governments being willing to offer unemployment benefits for federal employees. Now, it's not the total solution, but folks are trying to respond as they've been blessed. Or I've heard stories of congregations being short of money, yet somehow, and I've served congregations like this, the congregations somehow make ends meet. I mean, I had a congregation that was, what, $25,000 in the red, another one $50,000 in the red, but yet somehow they pay all the bills and still have cash flow. However God provides. Or I remember when I was laid off by the Southern Ohio Synod because of a lack of money, and right now, as I come towards the end of this month, it would be the, 2012? The seventh anniversary of being laid off for a lack of money. And, you know, it's not easy to be laid off. I think probably any number of you know what it means to be laid off and wondering what it all means. And then, guess what? I discovered that I have the knack for being an interim pastor. Who would have thought? Okay. And I'm again reminded of that sign at the Union Gospel Mission in Los Angeles. The sign said, "There but by the grace of God go I." You know, I think about not only myself, but any number of folks who live paycheck to paycheck, and there but by the grace of God go I. Through God's abundant grace, we've all been blessed to be a blessed. For their quarterly grant this year, or this particular quarter, they're going to provide a grant to Paradise Lutheran Church to assist Paradise Lutheran Church in their efforts to get back on their feet following the campfire. So, opportunities to share God's grace. Or another way of thinking about sharing God's grace is, you know, I think the challenge for every congregation is not to deal with the shortcomings. And every congregation has shortcomings. Peace is no exception. However, I think the challenge of grace is that we've all been blessed. And how can this congregation, along with every congregation, to be the best congregation that you can be with what you got? Because I think we shall sell God short and we sell ourselves short when we say, no, we're lacking this and this and this, when we see the challenges around us. And I think, no, what the challenge is we've been blessed with so much, is how can we best use, be the best stewards of all that God has given us, so that we can be the best that we can be for the sake of God. And the best that we can be is what all God is asking for, isn't it? Isn't that what God is asking for of us, is to be the best that we can be, in this case, Peace Lutheran Church, so that others may be blessed by the blessings we've been blessed with. Yes, the story of Jesus turning water to wine at the wedding at Cana is a story of God's abundant grace. And our God is a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. There's more than enough grace for everyone. And of course, there's nothing that can separate us from God's grace. So we all receive God's grace, and we always have opportunities to share it. Live it always. Amen.